You know what is one of my favorite Bible verses? It's actually one we're gonna look at today. It's found in John chapter 14, verse 15. It's words Jesus spoke when he said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." I love that, and I memorized it, and I liked it so much that one day I decided I was gonna use it. I came home from work, and true story, I came in the house, and I looked at my wife, Mandy, and I said, "Mandy, if you love me, you will obey my commands." You know what she said? "Elvin, you're not Jesus." True story. She's so quick. I don't get anything, Pastor. Hey, welcome to Mount Olive. We're so glad you joined us online today. And I want to give a quick shout out to all the moms out there. We love you. You are so valuable. We honor you today. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you feel honored today. You know, we're in the middle of our series, Future Bright, and looking at some words that Jesus spoke to his disciples when they were facing a circumstance, a situation that is eerily similar to circumstances and situations that we face in our life. It was the night that Jesus would be betrayed and led off to be crucified that he was having a conversation with his disciples, and what he was saying was leaving them feeling a little bit unsettled. They realized the world was about to change. It was gonna look very different in the future than the recent past, and what really kind of got them upset is Jesus kept saying that it's gonna get worse before it gets better, and he was saying, "I'm leaving you," and the disciples were like, "Jesus, you can't leave us. We left everything to follow you. If you leave us, we're gonna be left with nothing." And yet Jesus said it's gonna get worse, and the disciples realized they were at a hinge moment, that everything that they had known up to that time was gonna look very different in the future. You know, all of us face hinge moments from time to time. We face global hinge moments. We face political hinge moments. You can look through history. There's many hinge moments globally and politically. We face personal hinge moments. Maybe it's a relational hinge moment where you have a relationship with someone and there's something that happened and you know that from here on out, it's gonna look very, very different than what it looked like before. We have health hinge moments. You know, maybe it's a doctor's note, maybe it's a call about an accident of a loved one or the unsuspecting death of a loved one. And we realize that everything from here on out is gonna look very different. Our lives are about to change. And hinge moments can leave us feeling a little bit worried, a little bit troubled. And on that night 2,000 years ago, the disciples were troubled. And you know what? Jesus looked into the troubled, disheartened, confused faces of his disciples. And you know what he chose to say? He said this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," as though they had some sort of say on this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus thought they had say on their own hearts. And then he said, "Trust in God, trust also in me." And it seems kind of trite because we would think, you know, in the hinge moments of life when life is really difficult and hard, we're just gonna tell someone to trust in God. And yet Jesus, who created the entire universe and who holds it all together, he decided that what the disciples needed and what we need by extension when we face our hinge moments is this: don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And this little statement, this verse, became a hinge statement in their conversation. Because from this verse, Jesus would begin to shift their focus, their perspective, not on what was immediately in front of them and what was causing their hearts to be troubled or what they were allowing their hearts to be troubled by, but he would shift it to the future. And he would say, "The future is actually bright. In me, the future's bright." And he would go on and he would paint a picture for the disciples about what he was going to do. He was going to heaven to prepare a place for them. And although their immediate future was quite insecure, their eternal future was very secure in Jesus. And then last week we saw that not only is our future secure because of heaven and what Jesus has done in making a way for us to go there, but our future is, we have also been given a new power in Jesus. Last week we saw that Jesus said that anyone who believes in him would be given power to do the works he'd been doing, which is just crazy to think we would do the works he'd been doing. But then he goes even further and he says, "You will do even greater things than these." And the greater things that Jesus was referring, was talking about, was the job that he would leave for us in bringing people who are far from God close to God, people who are living in darkness into light, those who are in death crossing over to life, that we would be given the job of changing the future. So we don't fear the future. Jesus said, we've been given a power to go out and build the future with him and for him as we build his kingdom. And so we don't walk in fear. We don't walk in with a troubled heart. We have a future that's secure. We have a power as well. But maybe even over the last 2 weeks, you've wrestled with another question. Maybe it's a tension in your own life and you realize, sure, my future in heaven's secure and I have a power to build the future with Jesus by building his kingdom. But what about all the darkness that I face? Because the reality is we all face darkness, deep, deep darkness. And there's a tension, and maybe especially for those of us that are Christians, how do we walk through the darkness? You know, for some of us as Christians, we kind of came to Jesus maybe because we wanted to escape hardship. We wanted to get away from hardship. And then we gave our lives to Jesus and we thought, he's gonna make it all easier. And then we started following him and we realized he did not take away the hardship. In fact, life did not get easier because there is a reality for all of us, including Christians. And that is this, we as Christians do not get a pass on hardship. We don't get a pass on hardship. And maybe this has been a reason that you've kind of wanted to walk away from the faith because you put your faith in Jesus thinking he's gonna make your life easier and it did not get any easier because we do not get a pass on hardship. In fact, we can't pray away all our hardship. We can't have enough faith to make our hardship all go away. And we can't live in enough obedience to God to make it go away. And maybe you grew up kind of thinking, or maybe you just kind of came to believe that if you just pray right, then God will take your hardships away. Or if you just have enough faith, you can move all the mountains and there's no more hardships in your future. Or if you just follow Jesus and you obey him, then he's gonna make your life easier. You know, you do what he wants and maybe he'll give you what you want. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous, right? But you know what? We Christians don't get a pass on hardship. We don't get to escape it all. We actually have to live through it. Now, I don't know where we got the idea that maybe we would get a pass on hardship because Jesus, who's our Lord and Savior, did not get a pass on hardship. You know, Jesus experienced the greatest hardship. He took on the sins of the world and yet he prayed perfectly. He had faith, the greatest amount of faith any of us could have, and he obeyed God perfectly, and yet he still went to the cross. He did not get a pass on hardship, and neither do we. And that's the tension we walk with as Christians, that we have darkness, deep, deep darkness, but the light never goes out, that we have hard hardships, and yet there is always hope. But how do we walk through those dark nights? How do we walk through those hardships? And that's what Jesus is gonna relay to us today, the truth that we're gonna see in Jesus' word. But I've come to understand what Jesus is gonna tell us today actually through my kids as a parent. And you know, as a parent of young kids, if you're a parent of young kids, you know this as well. Often my 3-year-old daughter at nighttime she'll say, "Dad, I'm scared. I'm scared," and or "I had a bad dream. I had a nightmare." And I'll say, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she said, "Would you just sleep with me?" And as a dad, it's just like, "Yes." And I'll crawl into bed beside her, and you know, almost every time, within 30 or 60 seconds, she is fast asleep. It's like a peace has come over her. And here's the deal. I did not get into her head. Her problem was in her head, right? It's her imagination. It's her dreams, her fears. I could not get in her head, but just the physical presence of her father changed absolutely everything about how she walked into the future. And what Jesus is gonna tell us and what we're gonna see today is that although we don't have say on all the difficulties of what the future holds. We don't get to pray it away or believe it all away or have enough obedience to make it go away. We have say on how we walk in it. We have say on how we walk in it. So as Jesus would continue his conversation, he'd say, yes, the future is bright because of heaven. And yes, it's bright because you get to build it with me. But today we're gonna see that the future is bright because we walk in it in a whole new way as we walk with Jesus. And Jesus would start that conversation with, well, the verse I shared with you earlier, when Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." Now, the order in this is extremely important. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands," not "keep my commands," and that means you love me. See, there's a lot of people that keep the commands of Jesus, but they don't love Jesus at all. Maybe they're just extremely religious, and maybe you grew up kind of that way. You just obeyed all the rules, but you had no love for God or no love for Jesus. Or some people, they obey Jesus or they keep the commands of God because it's maybe because of they're doing it selfishly. It's kind of to look after themselves. They think, if I do what God wants, then he's going to give me what I want. And so I'm just going to obey him, but they have no love for God. Yet Jesus says, there's going to be some people that obey my commands, but they don't love me. But here's the deal. If you love me, you will keep my commands. You cannot separate those two. Anyone who loves me must keep my commands. Love comes first. Order is important. Love comes first. But obedience is right on the heels of love. And love and obedience are inseparable. Inseparable. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, what does this have to do with walking through dark nights? What does this have to do with dealing with the tension of going through difficult times? Well, it has absolutely everything to do with it, because our relationship changes our walk. Who is with us and in us changes everything about how we walk. And Jesus says, if you love me, if you want to be in relationship with me, follow my commands, obey my commands. And he continues, and as you live in relationship with me, it changes everything. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now, advocate means an encourager or someone who comes along, a helper. And Jesus says, in the same way that I have been a helper, I've been your guidance, I have made you brave. It's like when Jesus was in the room, the disciples were just a little more brave. He said, in all the ways I have been your guide and your help, I will, as you live in relationship with me, I will ask the Father and he'll send you another advocate, the very Spirit of God. And it will be better than me because I've been beside you. The Spirit will actually live in you. He goes on, the world cannot accept him, that's the Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The world, but when Jesus refers to the world, he's not referring to the physical world. He's talking about the world at large, people who don't yet know God. He says, they don't know the Spirit, but he says, you know him. Now, how do the disciples know him? He says, because he lives with you. He's actually referring to himself. And then he says, eventually he will be in you. Now, a bit of a sidebar. It's not really a sidebar, but a bit of a sidebar. When you read the Bible, you never come across the word Trinity. The idea that God is three persons, yet one God. The triune God. And yet in this passage, what you're gonna see the Trinity interwoven through the entire passage. In this part, we see that that Jesus says, the Spirit will be in you. In a few verses, we're gonna find out that Jesus says, I will be in you. And then later he says, the Father and I will be in you. And, well, who's gonna be in us? God will be in you. The very Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God will be in you. Well, Jesus continues, says, I will not leave you as orphans. Yes, I'm leaving you, and it's filling you with this anxiety, with this fear, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. What Jesus is referring to here is his death. In just a few hours, he would be betrayed. He'd be led off to be crucified, and then he'd be buried in a grave. And before long, the world will not see me. The world would not see him again. But Jesus says, you will see me. And when you see me, it will change everything because I'm going to be raised back to life. And because I live, then you will live also. On that day, Jesus goes on, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. On that day, when you see me raised from the dead, you will realize that everything I said about myself is absolutely true, that I am in the Father. And he goes on and he says, whoever has my commands, now we're back to commands, and keeps them, not just knows them, but keeps them, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. As you walk in relationship to me, I will live with you, and I will be in you through the very Spirit of God, and I will show myself to you. And he goes on and says, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, he'd already gone to betray Jesus. And then Judas, one of the other disciples, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? See, all of this talk about Jesus showing himself to the disciples, but not showing them to himself to the world, that he was gonna, you know, die but be raised. And the disciples said, God, or Jesus, we don't understand. Why wouldn't you show yourself to the world? See, the disciples, they had the idea that the Messiah, when the Messiah would come, he would start a kingdom in this world to rule this world. And so when Jesus says, I'm leaving and I'm not showing myself to the world, they're like, Jesus, you have to show yourself to the world. You're gonna build a kingdom. You're gonna change our future. Our future is bright because you're gonna set up this kingdom and we're gonna rule with you and we're gonna get rid of the Romans and we're gonna have a sovereign state. We're gonna be like when David ruled, right? Israel is gonna be awesome. And they didn't understand, why do you intend not to show yourself to the world? The Messiah has to show himself to the world. And they didn't quite understand, Jesus, what are you doing? You got to build a kingdom here and we're going to rule with you. And Jesus gives his answer. And as you read Jesus's answer, it sounds a little cryptic. This is what he says. He says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Okay, Jesus, the question was, why aren't you going to show yourself to the world? I mean, it seems like this has nothing to do with the question, and yet it has everything to do with the question. See, the disciples thought the Messiah would come and build a kingdom and take over lands and property. But Jesus, in this statement, says, I have not come to build an earthly kingdom, to take over lands and properties. I have come to take over the lives of people. And as you obey my teaching, as you start a relationship with me and the Father and the Spirit, we will come and make our home in you because I have come not to build a kingdom, to take away all your problems, but to take over your life. You know, we often tell God, change my circumstances, right? Just like the disciples, God, Jesus, change our circumstances. The Messiah has to come and destroy the Romans and build this kingdom and we're gonna rule and it's gonna be epic. And in the same way we say, God, change my circumstances. Take care of this suffering and remove this pain and this trial that's in front of me. Would you take it all away? And do you know what Jesus said? He said, how about this? I'll change how you walk in those circumstances. We tell God, change my circumstances. And Jesus says, I'll change how you walk in those circumstances. I did not come to build an earthly kingdom. I came to take over the lives of people. Let me take over your life. Could I rule your life? Could I change the way you walk in those circumstances? Well, Jesus would continue to say, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching, which makes sense. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I've spoken to you while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. In the same way that I have spoken to you, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak all the things that I've told you, remind you of all these things. And he will change the way that you walk. And then Jesus kind of sums up everything that he said. In fact, everything from probably John chapter 14, verse 1. Everything from, do not let your hearts be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me. Everything from, I'm building a place for you, a future home in heaven. Everything from, you're gonna go build the kingdom of God, you're gonna go and build the future with me. And I'm gonna change how you walk. And Jesus sums it all up and says, here's the outcome. As you have a relationship with me and live in obedience with me and in the Holy Spirit, here's the outcome. And it's one word. He says, peace. Peace. Now, isn't that what we all want? As we face our hinge moments, as we face crisis, as we face difficulties and challenges, isn't that what we all want? Isn't this, in fact, the reason we say, God, take away these trials. God, change my circumstances. I just want some peace. And Jesus says, as you live in a new relationship, in obedience to me and in the Holy Spirit, you will have peace. But then he defines peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus defines the peace that he gives. He says, I do not give to you as the world gives. When we say, God, change my circumstances, God, make all the hardship go away, Jesus says, I'm not gonna take it all away, not yet, but I will give you peace in the middle of the storm. I will give you peace. It's my peace. It's peace in the middle of the storm. This is why the Apostle Paul would come along some 20 or 30 years later, and he would write to the church in Philippi. He'd say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God as you live in relationship to God. Give your request to God. And then he says this, and the peace of God, and he defines the peace of God, and the peace of God that makes all hardship go away, and the peace of God that removes anything difficult in your life. He does not say that. He says the peace of God, he defines it, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus leaves us peace, but it's a different peace. It's a peace the world doesn't get because the world says, and sometimes our own desires say, take away all the challenges. Make my life easier. Then I'll have peace. And Jesus says, I'll do better than that. I'll give you peace in the middle of the storm. You know, Jesus, to sum it all up, Jesus would say, although we don't have say on all the difficulties the future holds, we don't get to pray our difficulties away or believe them all away or obey them all away. We don't have say on what all the difficulties of the future hold, but we do have say on how we walk in it, on how we walk in it. You know, Jesus, he would continue the conversation. You can read about it in John chapter 15 and 16. But he'd make a journey down a hill through the Kidron Valley and up the other side to the Mount of Olives. And as they walked, he would continue. And at the end, he'd continue the conversation. But at the end of the conversation, he would sum it all up for the disciples again. And it's found in John 16, verse 33. And here's what Jesus would say. He'd say, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, there's two guarantees for us in this passage. One guarantee is this. In this world, you will have trouble. You can't pray it away, even if you're a follower of Jesus. You can't have enough faith to make all your trouble go away. You can't believe it or obey it away. Jesus said this to his disciples, that you will have trouble. I don't know what your future holds. I don't know what next year's gonna look like for you. I don't even know what it's gonna look like for me. I don't know what next week or what tomorrow's gonna hold, but here's what I know about you and what I know about me. We will have trouble, and we can't escape it. Even as followers of Jesus, we cannot escape the trouble that we face. But here's the other guarantee for us. Jesus says that in me, you may have peace. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. In Jesus, we have an opportunity as we walk in that new relationship. We have an opportunity for peace. In this world, we will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. There is an opportunity for peace as we walk with Jesus. You know, we tell God, change my circumstances. And Jesus said, I'll change how you walk in those circumstances. And this is the tension. The tension that we as followers of Jesus walk in. That in this world we will have trouble. That there are some dark, dark nights that we walk through. But the light never goes out. That in this world there will be some hard hardships. And yet hope is never drowned. Because Jesus has overcome the world. That we can't escape it all. We can't escape hardship. That we will face suffering and pain and loss. We are gonna face death. We're gonna face unhealed sickness. We're gonna face pandemics and economic crisis. We're gonna face relational crisis. Because in this world, we will have trouble. We cannot escape it all, but take heart. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And so Jesus says to us today, I'll change how you walk in those circumstances. You know, it's because of this truth that the psalmist could write that famous psalm, Psalm 23. When David said, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because God, you changed how I walk in my circumstances. Because God would not take away the valley of the shadow of death. He would not take away the trouble that David would face, but he would change how he walked in it. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because God, you are with me. Like a child struggling with a dream, with fear because of the dark, who you are with and how you walk changes absolutely everything. And then David would say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, a rod and staff for as a shepherd for the sheep was the tools he would use to guide the sheep, sometimes to discipline the sheep. And Jesus says, if you obey me, if you walk in my path as I guide you, you will have a relationship and it will change the way you walk in all circumstances. You know, to sum up what Jesus said is this, Jesus, he calls us to a new walk, a new way of living. And it's a life full of peace as we walk in his spirit and as we walk in loving obedience to him. You know, I don't know what the future holds for you. And although we and you don't really get say on all the difficulties of our future, we do have say on how we walk in it. So how are you gonna walk into your future? Maybe your immediate future is quite uncertain right now. Maybe it's quite insecure and you're kind of filled with some fear like the disciples were. Would you live in the new life, walk a new walk that Jesus calls us, a walk of peace, a peace that comes as we walk in his spirit and we walk in loving obedience to him? You know, the Apostle Paul would kind of tease out what this life looks like. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What is this new life? And he would write to the Galatians, he would say, the fruit of the Spirit, a walk in the Spirit looks like this. It's love, it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, you don't have say on all the difficulties the future holds, but every day you can wake up and say, God, today I want to walk the new walk. Today I want to walk by your spirit, and I don't know what today holds. I don't know what tomorrow or even the next month or year holds. But God, would you fill me with your spirit? Every day you have a choice. God, would you fill me with your spirit? Would you give me love? And we're going to look at that more next week, how we are defined by love. God, would you fill me with love? God, would you give me joy even when there's so much despair around? And God, would you give me peace? Peace and patience. God, give me patience not to give in or throw in the towel. Help me persevere. Give me patience in the struggle. God, help me to be kind when others are unkind. And God, would you fill me with goodness even though there doesn't seem to be anything good in my life? God, would you make me faithful and help me to be gentle when others are harsh? And God, give me self-control not to respond when others are hard on me with a loss of emotion, but to be self-controlled. Help me to walk in the Spirit in obedience to you, because we don't have say on what the future holds, but we do have say on how we walk in it. Would you walk by his Spirit? And then Paul would write to a young pastor, Timothy. He'd say, here's what the Spirit does for us. He said, the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but rather God gives us a Spirit that gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The very walk that Jesus invites us to journey in, a walk in his Spirit, a new way of living, even peace itself, is given to us by the Spirit who gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We don't walk into the future with fear or timidity. We walk into the future, even a dark future, as we hold that tension of darkness, we walk with power, love, and self-discipline, because the light never goes out. You know, we often tell God, God, change my circumstances. And Jesus said, how about I change the way you walk in those circumstances? Let me give you a new life, a walk of peace, of loving obedience to me, and a walk in my Spirit. You know, Jesus told us that in this world, we will have trouble. We can't pray it away or believe it away. We can't escape it. We get no free pass on hardship. But the light never goes out, because Jesus said, in me you can have peace because I have overcome the world. My friends, that tells me, and I hope it tells you, that for us as followers of Jesus, Jesus would want you to know that the future is always, always bright. He has overcome the world. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that's been held intact for us for all these years. And God, I confess that I live with that tension sometime. God, why don't you take all my hardship away? And I pray and I believe, and yet God, sometimes you ask me to go through difficulty. And God, I don't know what everyone is going through right now. But God, I pray that you would encourage each of us with the words of Jesus, that we would believe that Jesus, your word, we would believe your word that says that you give peace, a different peace than the world gives, that in the middle of trouble, in the middle of the storm, that we can have peace as we walk with you. God, would you give us courage every day to wake up, and as we see the darkness, not to give into the darkness, because Jesus, you have already overcome that darkness. Help us to be filled with your peace as we walk in your Spirit and obedience to you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.